Hey guys, if you don't know, I'm Matt. It's great to share with you tonight. I don't know about you, but I love this time of year. It's September, it's my birthday, not that I'm trying to pump that up, but the weather's starting to become good, the sun's coming out. It's like the best day of the year tomorrow, grand final day, I'm so keen. Who here is going for the Tigers? Couple. Who's going for the big sound of the Giants? All right. Who could not care less that there is a game tomorrow? Yeah, it's probably more of that than Richmond, I'd say. The Giants have it. So we're going to start a little bit different tonight. I'm going to put something up on the screen. It's going to relate somehow to what I'm sharing a little bit later. Who likes riddles? Who doesn't like riddles? Too bad. I'm going to put something up on the screen, and I want to see if you can guess what the answer is. No answers just yet. Have a think. If you can get the answer right, I might give you something free from Cafe. Feel free to chat with someone next to you. Ma'am, I reckon you're the first one. I might read it out to start with. What is seen in the middle of March and April that can't be seen at the beginning or the end of either month? What do you think, ma'am? The letter R. Give her a hand. Good work. That was a little bit quicker than what I thought. We'll go to the second one. Second one's a little bit harder. Who makes it has no need of it. Who buys it has no use for it. Who uses it can neither see nor feel it. What is it? I'm going to go with this one here. What do you think it is? A coffin. Wow, you guys are too good. Good work. A coffin. Getting it? All right, let's go to the third one. Lachlan's enjoying these. Last one. You measure my life in hours, and I serve you by expiring. I'm quick when I'm thin, and I'm slow when I'm fat. The wind is my enemy. Who am I? Rachel? Candle. All right. That was way easier than I thought it was going to be. Good work, guys. Come see me after the service, those who got them right, and I'll give you something free from Cafe. I have to admit, when it comes to riddles that are a little bit harder than those ones there, I don't really normally like them unless I know the answers. Sometimes they're confusing, and it sometimes can be like a problem that you just can't solve, and someone seems so smart when they're trying to tell you this riddle, but you have no idea. Sometimes it seems like you'll never be able to figure out that problem. Or maybe you think you'll never be able to do it by yourself. And there are many problems in the world that are injustices that are like this. And I'm not talking about problems like when your palmy comes out and it's on top of the chips, like that's an issue. You've got soggy chips, terrible. Or when someone stores sauce in the fridge, that is wrong. I don't want cold sauce with my chips. It's wrong. Doesn't matter what the packet says, it's wrong. But there are serious problems that in the world that are injustices. Well, I stirred up some real strong feelings there. I'll let you take those discussions after the service. There are problems in the world that are injustices, such as poverty, racism, other forms of discrimination. There's oppression, there's slavery, there's bullying, there's isolation, there's loneliness. And some of these problems seem like who could ever solve them? It would take lots of time and lots of effort, or maybe no one could ever do that. But first of all, I want to define what is injustice. And injustice is when a human is treated, valued, or cared for something less of what God has actually created them to be. But when we talk about these problems, these forms of injustice, it can be really overwhelming when you think of these things like poverty. Like how can we solve these things? It seems so difficult, especially for just us. And there's a couple of responses that we can take to forms of injustice that we actually miss the mark. We miss acting on them. And the first one is actually not being aware that they exist. It can be really easy in life just to be focused on yourself all the time and to actually miss others around you, others at the other side of the world that are actually experiencing injustice. And another response that we can miss acting on injustice is looking the other way. Joe shared a story last week around the Good Samaritan. And there was those first two people. There was that person almost left for dead on the side of the road. And what was their response? They walked to the other side. They wanted to get away from it, to not have to deal with it. And I wonder, why is that the case? They knew that was wrong. But it's because it made them feel uncomfortable. They didn't want to have to deal with that feeling of uncomfortability. And I know that preparing this message, thinking about these things of injustice, that it made me feel a little bit guilty in it. It made really challenged me in the way that I've lived my life. I think about the times that I've walked past a homeless person and I've seen them and I've almost not wanted to have eye contact, or even I've maybe even considered crossing the other side of the road just so that I don't have to feel uncomfortable in that moment. I was even watching TV the other week and there was an ad that came on for a charity for some kids in a developing country. And I changed the channel because I didn't want to watch that. It made me feel a little bit uncomfortable. That ad for Compassion or World Vision, I think it was. I changed the channel because I thought I didn't want to feel uncomfortable. And it's easy to not confront that feeling and to actually do nothing about it. So we're going to look at a guy called James. A guy called James that in the Bible that wrote a letter and he talked a little bit about injustice. And he named the letter James, really creative there, but that's the letter in the Bible later on in the New Testament. And he wrote this letter to a bunch of followers of Jesus. And he told them lots of practical wisdom on what it looked like to live a godly life. And it's applicable to us today. And one thing that he goes through is this idea of injustice. And it talks about how we are to see it and how we are actually to respond to it. So we're going to put the verses up on the screen there. From James chapter 2, 15 to 17, starting from 15. It reads, "Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, keep warm and well fed,' but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, is dead." So what can we learn from this passage? Well, the first thing, if we look on that first verse, it says, suppose a brother or sister. It's not talking about literally your brother and sister that's hungry, but rather it's actually talking about everyone. But not just everyone, it's talking about brother and sister trying to get across the message that real people, there are real people that go without clothes and daily food. And when it talks about clothes and daily food, it's talking about daily needs, necessities for life. And therefore, James is trying to highlight to us that we need to actually recognize that there are people that are facing injustice, that go without clothes, that go without food. I did a little bit of research, and the stats are like mind-blowing. There's 795 million people in the world that do not have enough food to live a healthy, active life. That's 1 in 9 people. That's one person in each row that would represent. 25,000 people die of hunger every day. If you're watching the grand final tomorrow, a quarter of that crowd dies every day because of food. Just a simple necessity of having enough food to live. That's 9.1 million people each year. That's crazy. And these are real people. We sometimes can think about other side of the world, it doesn't seem real, but there's also real people in our neighborhood that are actually facing injustice. 8,000 people in Australia sleep rough, whether that's on a park bench, under a tree, a makeshift tent. And then there's another 21,000 people that sleep in homeless accommodation. And we're the lucky country. We need to be aware of that real people face injustice. And it can be so easy to forget how lucky we actually are. And then if we pick up from that next verse, in verse 16, it says, if we say, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but do nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? If I'm starving and someone comes up to me, taps me on the shoulder and goes, I hope you find some food sometime. I hope you get better. What's that going to mean to me? He might say, bless you. It doesn't mean much at all. To be honest, it's probably going to be offensive and I'm probably going to be angrier than I was before. It was probably better for him not to say anything. And when we're faced with big problems, problems that seem impossible, one of our easiest responses is just to say words. And it can seem like the easiest thing to say. And I think of the gun violence in America. So often we hear of this incredible tragedy, many people dying. And you hear of the responses, thoughts and prayers are for the family affected. And then no one does anything about it. And then it seems like 2 weeks later, another shooting occurs, thoughts and prayers with the families. And to be honest, I don't really know enough about the situation in America, but it seems so shallow and pointless. These empty words. I'm not trying to downplay prayer in the slightest. That something I've been challenged in my life is If I say to someone, I'm praying for you, if I send them a text, I'm praying for you, I'm challenged that not to allow that to be empty words, but to actually in that moment to stop and to actually pray for that person. Because I believe in the power of prayer. Later on in the letter from James, it says that prayer is both powerful and effective. And sometimes I believe in prayer, God will actually stir up something inside of you. He might even prompt you in a way that you're called to act on that. And if we look in the last verse, verse 17, in the same way, faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, is dead. It's pretty upfront in the words that he uses. It's pretty much saying that faith is ineffective. Faith and action, they're meant to go together. Faith is meant to be shared with others. And one way we can do this is through our actions towards others. We're called to look outside of ourselves. If I was to say to you right now, or if you were to right now, just put yourself in this situation, if you believed that the roof was about to collapse on you, what are you going to do? You probably, throw chairs away. You're gonna go crazy. You're going to move. You're probably going to act on it, aren't you? You're gonna have some action in that. You're probably not going to sit and just keep listening to me in this. In our belief, something's actually going to, it actually changes the way that we act. Belief is meant to be accompanied by action. And I think that's what James is trying to get across. And it's no way saying that our actions, what the good deeds that we do, allows us to get right with God, that actually pleases God so we can have relationship with him. But in John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." That we are right in relationship with God through our belief, our faith in him. But it's saying that we're not just to sit in that, but we actually should have a response to God's love, to actually share that with others, to actually act on that. Love is an action. But I don't know if you're the same as me, that when you see something where there's injustice, where there's something that is not how it should be, there's two different sort of responses. Sometimes you can feel that feeling, you feel a little bit uncomfortable. Maybe you walk past that homeless person and you sort of don't really know how to act, but you know that there's something wrong. You almost have that injustice belly, like barley belly, but you feel it, injustice in that. There feels something wrong. Or it might be that you see something wrong, you hear of some absolute tragedy, hear of sex slavery or something like that, and you get this righteous anger. You almost feel like you almost need to act, like move, because you're so angry. That is wrong. That is so incredibly wrong. That should not be how it is. And I believe God hates injustice. And I believe in that moment when we have those feelings of uncomfortability or with that righteous anger, that we're actually experiencing a tiny aspect of how God feels about injustice. And it's not a guilt, but it's actually a stirring to action. That God gives us passions, just as you might be passionate about music or sport or dance, that God actually also puts things on our heart that breaks our heart, that actually calls us to action, that allows us to act in righteous anger, to actually be a change. But in that, we can recognize injustice, we can recognize it's occurring. And we can think to ourselves, that is terrible. Somebody should do something about it. And maybe that's because we don't see ourselves as somebody. Maybe you don't see yourself as somebody. Maybe you're not old enough, you think. You're not experienced. Maybe there's others that you think should do things first, and then you'll follow. Maybe you think you're not talented enough. Maybe you think you don't have enough time. Or maybe you think it's just too hard, impossible for one person. And sometimes there are too many people saying somebody should do something about it. And if that's the case, nothing will happen unless somebody does something about it. Nothing will change. And I believe maybe God is actually calling you to be somebody for someone. And you can be that somebody. God equips. And Jesus is the savior of the world. We don't have to feel the guilt and the weight of all these incredible injustices that are happening in the world. But we actually get to partner with him. And what he's asking for us is, he's not asking for us to have all the solutions, but rather he's asking to start with what we have in front of ourselves to actually take that first step against injustice. And I was reading this week about a story of a guy called Austin Gutween. And Austin was 9 years old. That's a photo of him up on the screen with his lovely red hair. And when he was 9 years old, he saw a video. And something changed in him. He watched this video, and it was a video of some children that were orphaned because of AIDS. And after watching this video, first of all, he noticed the injustice. He realized that these kids weren't that much different from him, but rather that they were suffering. He experienced that feeling of uncomfortability or righteous anger. And he felt God was actually calling him to do something, to actually help them. So he did with what he knew, he did with what the talents that he had. And he loved basketball. So he decided in 2004 to shoot free throws on World AIDS Day in 2004 to raise money for those orphans affected by AIDS. And he shot 2,057 free throws to represent the 2,057 kids that would be orphaned while he was at school during the time of that school period. But friends and family got behind him and ended up raising $3,000 for kids affected by AIDS. And then he continued with this and ended up founding a charity called Hoops for Hope. And he turned this one action into the largest free throw marathon in the world, with an estimated 40,000 people participating in over 25 countries, participating in Hoops of Hope by doing something simple as what he knew what he could do to contribute, by shooting free throws and raising money that way. Hoops of Hope have now raised over $4 million. They've built orphanages, feeding programs, water projects, schools, all over the world. And Austin, to be honest, wasn't that incredible. There was a few different things. First of all, he noticed the injustice that was happening. He noticed that these kids were like him. He actually felt God's pain for them, and he actually decided to act on the way that he knew how. And I'm not saying tonight that you need to start a new charity organization or start a movement, but it can be as simple as seeing and noticing the injustice around you, taking a stand and taking that first step. You can't be somebody to everybody, but you can be somebody to one person. You can see what's happening around you. And I believe God prompts, he gives tools, he gives you experiences to deal with injustice. And I know it can be as simple as the story I've heard about a lady. She would go to uni, and on her way to uni, she'd always pass pretty often homeless people. And so what she did, she made one decision. She decided that she would take two lunches. So for 4 years, she took two lunches every day to uni and would give one of them out. And she would say that it was an incredible experience of seeing people so humble just to be given lunch for the day. And it was just one small action that had such a significant impact on one person, or many people in her case. It might even be for you that it's just noticing the injustices around you. Maybe you notice that someone's being bullied. Maybe you just notice that there's one kid in your class that doesn't seem to have that many friends, that's lonely, that's isolated. And you actually act on that injustice by going, chatting to them, friending them. It could be as simple as volunteering at a charity organization, doing something for the environment, maybe even financially donating some of your hard-earned pocket money or your job. Could even be sponsoring a child. And we've actually had an opportunity with our Christmas child shoeboxes, where you've had an opportunity to put some gifts for a child in a developing country that normally wouldn't receive a gift at Christmas. And you've actually been able to share the love of Jesus in that simple way. And there's so many different other examples of how you can act or the injustices around you. But I believe the world needs hope. And the way to actually tackle injustice is the hope found in the love of Jesus, to share that with others and actually to act on that. So I'm going to close just by giving you three challenges. And so I normally like to give you something, one thing to finish, but I think you guys are fine to do with three. What I want you to do is, it's the holidays coming up. I would love, I'll put them up on the screen in a second. There's three things I want you to do. First one is to read the book of James. I say the book of James, it's like 2.5 pages long. It's called 5 chapters, but they're like about 0.5 page each. To actually spend some time in that, to read it, and to allow God to challenge you while reading that book. If you don't have a Bible, please come and see me after the service. I'd love to give you one. The second one is actually to pray a really simple prayer. It's actually from a line of a song that says, "Break my heart for what breaks yours." God's heart breaks with injustice. And that prayer is simply is to actually have our heart broken for what breaks God's heart. To see injustice how God sees it. To notice it first before we can act on it. And the last one is to actually sit in injustice. that next time that you have that feeling of maybe feeling a bit uncomfortable because of something, or maybe you've got that righteous anger for something, to not dismiss it, to try to remove it, to get rid of that feeling of being uncomfortable, but to actually sit in that and to pray and say, God, how are you calling me to act? How are you calling me to respond? So I'd love you to try out those three challenges this week. And I'm just going to close in prayer, and then we're going to sing. Dear God, I just thank you for who you are. I know that your heart breaks with injustice. And I just pray as individuals and as excess that we can, I just pray that we have eyes to see the injustice that you see it, to allow our hearts to be broken for what breaks yours. God, I just pray that you'll stir something in us that when we sit in those feelings of uncomfortability and righteous anger, we can stir it and be called by you and be guided in our response to that. God, thank you that we don't have to feel like we need to know the answers to all of these problems, that we can actually step out in faith to take that first step, that you lead and you guide us, you give us strength. And thank you, God, that hope is found in you, that there is hope in situations that seem so far gone. God, we thank you for who you are, and we give these things to you in Jesus' name. Amen.